Lecture 17, Understanding Medieval Antisemitism.
The public disputation that we described in our last lecture was a manifestation of something much larger, and that's really what I want to address in this lecture. Namely, by the 13th century, and particularly in the 13th century, 14th century as well, and certainly into the 15th century, we see a radical deterioration of the status of the Jew within Christian society. Very different from what preceded, even more difficult than the Crusade period itself. And therefore, we need to first of all describe what is happening and then try to explain it. We have really now come to the heart of the matter with respect to Jewish-Christian relations. And of course, the end of our story is that the Jew will be expelled from most of the areas we have described. So ultimately, the story ends on a very sad note. So how do we get there? That's our question. First of all, let us talk about what we mean by this decline or deterioration in the economic, social, cultural life of the Jew. As we said in one of our earlier lectures, when we spoke about the individual charters that began to define the legal status of the Jew in medieval society, by the 12th and 13th century, a new term appears in our sources called servi camerae, or chamber serfs, meaning that now we have a definition of a legal status which is quite subservient. It's not exactly slavery, as we said, but clearly it suggests indeed the vulnerability and the subservient status of Jews within Christian society. So one indicator already is the issue of legal status. A second, which we have not talked about at all, except to indicate how Jews lived in earlier times, is their economic status. As we described, at least up into the Crusades, Jews came as merchants. They had privileges from individual feudal lords, as we said, and they were quite diversified economically, including the opportunity of owning land, of owning vineyards, of being involved with winemaking. In other words, Jews were not limited economically in the early Middle Ages at all. But gradually we see a change. And certainly by the 12th, 13th, and 14th century, a new ubiquitous economic dimension of Jewish life emerges. And that is the notorious image of the Jew as moneylender or usurer. In other words, Jews are being pushed off the land, being pushed out of other occupations, particularly artisans and other economic roles, and are assuming an unwanted, a task which is hated by Christian society, at the same time is critical for Christian society. That is lending money on interest. Now, this has a long history, and we could go on and describe this at length, but I cannot do that here. But I simply want to say that that the initial inhibition or prohibition of usury, of money lending, comes from the Bible itself. But of course, this is a text which both Jews and Christians read. So why do Christians take it more seriously than Jews? That's really the question. And I'm not sure I really have a good answer to it. The text, of course, is in Deuteronomy, where it says, you can not take interest from your brother, but you can take interest from an alien, from a nochri. Now, then the question becomes, who is your brother? From the perspective of Jewish life, a Christian is not your brother. He's different. And therefore, although there is a kind of stigma attached to money lending, even within Jewish sources, Jews are not necessarily prohibited from taking interest from non-Jews. From the perspective of Christendom, however, the Jews are our family. All of a sudden, now they become the family of the larger Christian community, and therefore, first of all, Christians can't take interest from Christians. And Jews, well, we need them to do that. On the other hand, we don't like it. And therefore, we not only hate the role that they play, but we begin to hate them as well. In other words, among the other reasons why Jews can be hated within Christian society, and we'll see a variety of reasons here, a new one emerges. The Jew as the moneylender, the Jew who seems to be exploiting the Christian poor, which indeed is not usually the case. And moreover, the Jew as the Shylock. In other words, the image of Shakespeare already is an image that goes back for generations. And we will see a dimension of that in just a few short minutes when I read you a poem that predates Shakespeare himself.